litany for today is a litany of thanksgiving. It is on the screen, it is in your worship folder, whatever works for you. Give thanks to the Lord who is good.
God's love is everlasting.
Come, let us praise God.
Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
For the good world, for the things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors.
Thank you, God.
For human life, for talking and moving and thinking together, for hopes and hardships shared.
Thank you, God.
For work to do and strength to work, for comradeship and labor, for sharing of good humor and encouragement.
Thank you, God.
For marriage and the mystery and joy of flesh made one, for mutual forgiveness and burdens shared.
Thank you, God.
For family, for living together and eating together, for family amusements and family pleasures.
Thank you, God.
For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies.
Thank you, God.
For the young, for their high hopes, for their irreverence toward worn-out values, for their search for freedom.
Thank you, God.
For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, and for time made precious by its passing.
Thank you, God.
For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger.
Thank you, God.
For the church into which we are called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in the Lord.
We praise you, God.
For your Holy Spirit who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prays in us and prompts our grateful worship.
We praise you, God.
Above all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again for our salvation, for our hope in him, and for the joy of serving him.
We thank and praise you, God, for your goodness to us.
Give thanks to the Lord who is good.
God's love is everlasting.
Glory be to the Father, and
to the Son,
and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare for prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Yes. Okay, thank you. Also, Roberta's sister, Barbara, in Maryville passed away this week. We don't know the arrangements yet, but I know that Roberta would appreciate your prayers. Any others? Those traveling, some 50 million in the United States. Let's take just a moment as we prepare to go to prayer this morning. Tell me, for what are you thankful?
Food to eat,
yes.
License to sleep.
Family.
Our church.
Salvation.
Health.
Freedom.
For peace in my heart in a troubled world that can come only from God.
Yes. Thankful for our troops, for our first responders, for those who day by day put their life in harm's way for our help. thankful to live in a nation where we can disagree. There are places where you can disagree, but they'll cancel your health insurance policy. You get the idea. Yes, that's part of the freedom we enjoy. There are people who don't like our current president. That's okay. Doesn't change the fact that he is our president. There are people who didn't like the previous president. That's okay. Doesn't change the fact that he still has the title of President of the United States. Not the office now, but the title. That's part of the freedoms that we enjoy. I don't agree with everything I see and hear, but I have to remind myself that's part of their freedom. Yeah. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. We thank Thee, all our God, with hearts and hands and voices. You have blessed us so abundantly to think that for almost 400 years now, we and our predecessors have had the privilege of living in this great and wonderful nation. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with all of our leaders. We realize that we all don't agree with who the good guys and who the bad guys are, but that's okay. What a job to try to lead and guide this nation of ours. We pray that you would be with every one of them today. May your Holy Spirit guide and direct them. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would move on both sides of the aisle there in Congress. Would direct them to do those things which are best, not for their political career, not for their bank accounts, but for the building of your kingdom. To help America to continue to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with our troops. Oh, what a difficult time to be away from home and family and friends. To be scattered all over the world, knowing that others are gathering together to celebrate the seasons. Be with them today. Comfort their hearts and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Strengthen them. May they feel your peace and your presence in the midst of this absence. Be with those today who are suffering, those who are going through sicknesses and conditions, those who are going through uncertainties about how much life there is left on this side. Remind them that there's eternal life waiting. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for our church here, for the many years that it has served you and served your children. Remind us that you still have a calling and a work for us to do. Remind us, Lord, it's not my church, it's not our church, it is your church. We are privileged to be able to serve you through this institution. Thank you, Lord, for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. Help us that we might be a praising and thanking people every day of the year. May our attitudes reflect the attitude and life of Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all of your blessings to us. May we always be thankful. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you, for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing together, We Gather Together.
All do extol thee, thou livest.
You may be seated.
Today's scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seeds to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. So two good things will happen. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Thank God for his Son, a gift too wonderful for words, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's all in the name.
I heard about a preacher one time. He was getting ready to lead in the communion service. The people were standing and they were used to the ritual. And he says, he started in the ritual and, you know, he says, normally he would say, "The Lord be with you," and the congregation would respond, "And also with you." He got up there ready to talk and the microphone wasn't working. He says, "There's something wrong with this microphone." The congregation followed through and said, "And also with you." Well, okay, we've got it working now. Let's talk about this morning about when we are really thankful. Now, so often, Thanksgiving Day comes and says, "Okay, thank you, God, for the food," and everybody digs in. But let's talk about what happens if God gets a hold of our heart and you and I are really a people of thanks and praise every day of the year. The first thing we need to notice is that when we are really thankful, there is a change in our allegiance. If Jesus Christ is Lord and King of our hearts and of our lives, He deserves our honor, our loyalty, and our obedience. We're under His authority and power. Whatever He says, we will do because we daily submit to the will of the King. If we were to take a vote this morning on how many believed in missions, let's do that. How many people here this morning believe in missions? We might have trouble getting this one to pass. How many people here this morning believe in missions? Okay, that's a little bit better. Okay, let me submit to you that there are at least three kinds of missions that we need to be concerned about. First of all, there's the one that we readily identify with, the idea of foreign missions. People going around the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to minister to those who are hungry and homeless and hurting and helpless and hopeless. We all believe in foreign missions. The second one we could look at this morning would be home missions. Do you realize that just in Knoxville, Tennessee, there were over 1,500 homeless people? Now, I realize that some of them choose to be homeless. I realize, though, that a lot of them are victims of life and circumstances. It's not their choice. There are a lot of children in families that are living on the streets. There are thousands more who are hungry. There's a large group of people who are unemployed or underemployed. And thousands more who are alone and lonely. What a challenge we have as the Church of Jesus Christ. But before we can address either of these first two, foreign missions and home missions, let me propose to you that there is another kind of mission that we have to give ourselves to. That is submission. If you and I are faithful in submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ and to the will of God in our lives, there will be no need to beg and plead for volunteers, for donations, for people to help, because we will not need to turn anyone away. In almost 50 years of ministry, I have continually maintained that if half the churches did half of what God has called them to do, we would not have problems with homelessness and hunger and so many of these things that are going on. I'm sure all of us know churches that unlock the doors at 10:45 on Sunday morning, at 12 o'clock or 12:30 or 1 o'clock, whatever time it is, they lock them back up until 10:45 the next Sunday morning. And heaven help any pastor that goes into that church that wants to change things. You've heard me quote Mark Twain before, the only one that likes change is a wet baby. Okay? But if we are really thankful, there'll be a change in our allegiance. Secondly, there'll be a change in our expectations. I read a story about a 92-year-old man who was moved to a nursing home. He was well poised, and every morning he was fully dressed by 8 a.m. His hair was always neatly combed. He was always clean shaven, even though he was legally blind. His wife of over 70 years had recently passed away, making his move to a nursing home a necessity. After several hours of waiting patiently in the nursing home lobby, an attendant came and said, "Your room was ready," and he smiled and told him thank you and got up. As he maneuvered his walker to the elevator, the attendant gave him a description of his tiny room that he was going to, right down to the eyelet sheets that had been hung on his window. "I love it," he said, with an enthusiasm of an 8-year-old who had just been presented with a new puppy. "Mr. Jones, you haven't seen the room yet. Just wait." I like his reply. He said, "That doesn't have anything to do with it. Happiness is something you decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's how I arrange my mind. I've already decided to love it. It's a decision I make every morning when I wake up. I have a choice. I can spend the day in bed recounting the difficulty I have with all the parts of my body that no longer work, or I can get out of bed and be thankful for the ones that do." I was wondering if I'd get an amen on that. Okay. "Every day is a gift," he said. "As long as my eyes are open, I'll focus on a new day and all the happy memories I've stored away just for this time in my life. Old age is like a bank account. You withdraw from what you've put in. So my advice to you would be to deposit a lot of happiness in the bank account of memories. Thank you for your part in filling my memory bank. I am still depositing." Let me give you 5 simple, easy rules here on how to be happy. We have people doing all kinds of things thinking they're going to find happiness. People that think they're going to find happiness in a bottle or in a pill or in lighting up or whatever it may be. But let me give you 5 simple rules here. First of all, free your heart from hatred. Secondly, free your mind from worries. Saw a church sign just this week. It said, "Worry is a waste of imagination." Most of the things we worry about ain't going to happen anyway. And if they are going to happen, there's nothing we can do about them. Don't worry. Be happy. Number 3, live simply. Christmas is coming. Heard about a couple that were out doing their Christmas shopping. They stopped by an art gallery and they bought several Rembrandts and several Da Vinci's and several others that you would recognize the names of. They got done with all of that, and the guy said, "Well, that takes care of our Christmas cards. Now let's go shop for some presents." Live simply. These people with their 8, 10, 12, 15, 20, $100 million homes, Live simply. Number 4, give more. Someone said, I believe it was in the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, Not what we give, but what we share, for the gift without the giver is bare. Then finally, the last one, expect less. I hate to burst your bubble on this Thanksgiving week, but don't sit there waiting for Publishers Clearing House to come and knock on your door with their balloons. It probably ain't going to happen. And if it does, remember your church. But so often we get so wrapped up in these things. Every time I stop by Pilot to get my coffee, there's somebody in line ahead of me buying a bunch of lottery tickets. One day I was in a donut shop up in St. Louis. Two guys beside me were discussing how much they'd won in the lottery. Well, I got $20 last week. Well, I won $50. So finally, I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, last year I won over $1,000. How'd you do it? What's your secret? I said, every day I didn't spend $3 on lottery tickets and I came out $1,000 ahead. Expect less. If the lottery was in your favor, it'd go bankrupt the first week. These casinos, big, beautiful casinos with all the perks and everything else, where do you think they got the money to do that? From people who thought they were going to get rich by gambling. Give more and expect less. We look forward to heaven where God's children will spend eternity in the presence of their Creator. We live day by day with the kingdom of God, which Jesus tells his followers is within them. As those who are called and called out by God, we are to be kingdom builders. We're here to allow God's presence, the kingship of God's Son, and the rule of God's Holy Spirit within our hearts and lives, moment by moment, so that the whole world can experience the reality of God's presence through us. When we are really thankful, there's a change in allegiance, there's a change in expectation, and three, there's a change in our values. Our culture today values achievement and success and independence and image. Kingdom values represent what matters to the king. The values of Jesus are described there in Matthew chapter 5, what we know as the Beatitudes, or as someone has called them, the beautiful attitudes. Kingdom people adopt the king's values and make choices and reflect those values. I've shared with you before about working for the school board down in Florida. I would spend most of the summers out on the tractor mowing the lawns around the schools. There was one school on the east side of Auburndale, Florida, that had a pretty good grassy area all around it. Big lawn area there to be mowed. And I told you about how that one particular day I was mowing down the side of the school there and a bird came hopping toward me, flapping its wings. Now, a McCormick Farmall tractor isn't that big, but compared to that bird, it was huge. I kept going, the bird kept coming. The closer I got, the more animated the bird got. So finally I stopped the tractor, got off, walked up to where the bird had come from. There on the ground was a nest with three eggs in it. That mother bird was willing to challenge that tractor to protect her children. She put everything on the line for what was precious to her. We use the expression free as a bird. This one was willing to give up that freedom for the sake of her yet-to-be-born children. We see the same selfless compassion in a mother who is willing to go right to death's door to give birth to her children. Then she goes on and gives her life unreservedly to raise and nurture those children. This is just a faint reflection of the love that God has for all of his children and gives us an idea of the love that God expects you and me to have for all of our brothers and sisters. What do you really want to get out of life? I'm sure that each one of us could come up with a pretty impressive Christmas list. If God said, okay, what do you really want for Christmas? We'll be talking about that in another sermon. That's kind of close to my heart, but getting back to this one. About what we really want out of life, a Confederate soldier put it this way. You've heard this before. He said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel my need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for but everything that I'd hoped for. Almost in spite of myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Number four, there is a change in our priorities. It's interesting to see the priorities that some people have in life. We sing that song that says, my desire to be like Jesus, my desire to be like him. His spirit fills me, his love overwhelms me, in word and deed to be like him. The real test of our priorities is how we spend our time and our money, or God's time and God's money. Jesus said we're to lay up our treasure in heaven, for where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. We can't take our time with us. God doesn't need it. God's got a whole eternity waiting for us. We can't take our money with us, but we will be accountable for how we use it while we are here. We can't take our bodies with us, thank goodness, for God has a brand new body waiting for each one of us. We can use all that God has given us here and now for God's glory. And make sure in how we live and how we die that we show God's unconditional love for everyone. And that some part of this world will be a better place because you and I have been here. Not because of us, but because of God living and working through us. And finally, number five, if we are really thankful, there is a change in our lifelong mission. Another song we sing says, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his will demands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. We are a called people. Think of this. God has called me. God has called each one of you. We are his ambassadors. In John 20:21, Jesus told the disciples that just as he was sent by God, he was sending us. Maybe next door, maybe around the world. Just as God has changed our lives, God is calling us to make the way possible for change in all of God's children. God said the greatest love that you and I could show was that we would be willing to lay down our lives for others. It could be in an instantaneous decision to give up our life for the sake of somebody else. Or it could mean even more, living each day for others, that they might enjoy the fullness of the life and love that God gives. Here we are today, we're on the threshold of another Advent season. When we celebrate the fact that God so loved, that he gave, that whosoever, eternal life. Eternal life isn't ours to give, but we sure can show others who to go to get it. We can show them the difference that God's unconditional love and grace can make in a life. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. Are you really thankful? Let it show. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can gather today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We thank you, Lord, that you give us reason to be thankful every day of the year. Get our eyes off ourselves. Get our eyes off what someone else has that we don't have or what we don't have that we think we need so badly. Get our eyes on you and how blessed we are. Remind us, Lord, that no matter what we have here, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ to all of the riches of the universe and of eternity. May we always be a praising people. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to go this morning, you know the closing chorus that we're going to sing. We're going to sing the chorus to that Bill Gaither song that says, "Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our voice toward heaven and praise the Lord." You're not singing for me. You're not singing to audition in the choir. We don't require auditions. To give God the praise. Let's stand and do it. Now, as God's praising and thankful people, may you leave this place to show the world what a glad heart looks like, because Jesus Christ lives and reigns there. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.